Now I'd like to read tonight, first of all, in the book of Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, for a verse, in Jeremiah chapter 17. And reading at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, and reading at verse 9. That says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." I'm thinking of that little expression, "I, the Lord, search the heart." Now over to the book of the Hebrews in our Bibles, the book of Hebrews, Chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll read at verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And then the final reading is in 1 Peter Chapter 2. First Epistle of Peter and Chapter 2. And verse 22. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The Lord will bless his word, I'm sure, to our hearts tonight. I want to think very simply from these three portions of just three words that the truth is brought before us. I want to think of a search that we find in Jeremiah chapter 17. "I, the Lord, search the heart." So there's a search that is going on. Then when we come to Hebrews chapter 9, I'm thinking of a sacrifice that was made. "Once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." And so we have a sacrifice that was made, and that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in his death at Calvary. Then when we come to 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm thinking of the truth of substitution. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." The Bible reminds us, tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 very plainly that another has paid a price for man. And that other is none other than God's beloved Son. And then he reminds them that ye were as sheep going astray. And so he takes them back to a time prior to when they were saved. Every person that's going to heaven has a time before and a time after. Every person that is going to be in God's heaven has a time in their life when they come right to a place where they rest their all for eternity on the work of the Lord Jesus. I go back to 1969, and as a young man in my sin, I found out my need of God's salvation. I wasn't always saved. I wasn't always on the way to heaven. I can remember the first Bible that I received in a Sunday school class when we began to attend a Sunday school in a gospel hall in a place called Oxford, Nova Scotia. And when we learned the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we could quote all the books of the Bible, our Sunday school teacher gave us a Bible, our very own Bible with our very own name in it. And I can remember the first Bible that I can remember of getting, I got from my Sunday school teacher. Well, because I had a Bible, and because I learned verses in the Bible, and because I could sing Sunday school choruses, and because my mom and dad were Christians, that did not make me a Christian. That did not make me ready for heaven. There had to be a personal moment, time in my life when I, as a guilty sinner personally, received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so, friend, in the preaching of the gospel, we seek to present to men and women and boys and girls the need of God's salvation. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, there's no greater need in your life than the need of God's salvation. Friend, if there's never been a moment, if you can't go back to a moment in your little life's experience, it would do you well in this meeting tonight just to think in your mind, can you go back over the days or the weeks or the years? Can you go back to a moment in time, in life somewhere, where you came to a place where you saw your need of God's salvation, when you saw that you were without God and without Christ and without hope, that you were destined going to eternity without salvation, no hope of being in heaven, and you found that the only way to heaven was in the person of the Lord Jesus? You know, even going to church is not salvation. We would not preach, friend, going to church as a way of salvation, as good as it might be, and as helpful as it is for a person to attend church so-called. And that's a good thing for every person, and even in these gospel meetings. You know, friend, coming night after night to these gospel meetings would be the best effort that you could put in as far as your little part in life right now would be concerned. If you made a vow in your life, I'm going to be at every meeting at that gospel hall in this special series of gospel meetings. I'm not going to miss one meeting. I'm going to be there if at all possible. Friend, that would be a good promise to make yourself. And sitting under the sound of the gospel in a place where God is passing through and the word of God is being proclaimed and being preached and with an opportunity of hearing the way of salvation. But friend, you could sit here till for the rest of your life in gospel meetings, and that is not God's salvation. God's salvation is a personal acceptance of the Lord Jesus as one's own Savior. When I understood my need of Christ, when I understood my sin before a holy God, when I found out the Bible said about me that I was condemned already, when the Bible says, David, you've come short of the glory of God, you've sinned against God, and friend, I acknowledge from the Bible and in the presence of God one day, yes, what God says about me is true. Do you know something? I got located. That's what this chart does here. You know, when going around the city here, we wouldn't get very far, or at least not where we wanted to go if we never had a map. But you know, one of the first things that you have to do on a chart or on a map, if you're going somewhere, the first thing you have to do is find out where you're at right now. If I don't know where I'm at right now, then it's pretty hard for me to get to where I want to go, because I've got to find right where I'm at. Well, this chart that's on the wall behind me, friend, that's one of the purposes, reasons of this chart, is that you might get located. That you might find out, where am I at right now? In this gospel meeting tonight, every one of us is pictured on this chart, somewhere on this chart. Either on this road, that we were reminded about the other night, this broad road here that's going down to death and going down to hell, or on this narrow road that's going up to death or up to the Lord's coming, leading upwards to heaven. Somewhere, friend, every one of us is on this chart, on this side of this pillar of death. We are on this side of it somewhere. And I wonder, if I was to ask you tonight to come up, if I was to ask the boys here in this front row to come up and put your finger out right on the chart where you're at tonight, I wonder where you would point. Or if I asked an adult tonight, friend, if you were to come up to the front of this building and put your finger right on this chart of where you're at on this chart, I wonder where would you put your finger? Would it be on this road, or would it be on this road? Every person on this road has gone through a door that stands open tonight.
Do you know that door was opened at Calvary? Do you know that door tonight? The Bible tells us that door is the door of salvation. The Bible tells us that door is a person. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's a promise that God has given, the Lord has given. He shall be saved. Do you know why we need to be saved? Because we're lost. The Bible declares that every person born is lost because of our sin, because of our separation from God, because of our distance from God, we are lost. Ever find out that you were lost? Well, I think of a man. He was a Christian. Praise God for that. He was a man that had a time in his life, and he'd be able to tell you. He'd tell you the day when he got saved. He could tell you where it was he got saved. He'd have been able to tell you how it was that he got saved. And we got a call one night, and it says that John didn't return home. He'd gone out in the afternoon for a walk, and he hadn't come home. And some of the people were having a look for him. And they said, if we don't find him, we're going to need some help. Well, I said, give us a call. And so about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, the phone rang again. They said, we still haven't found John. Well, anyway, a bunch of us got together and went out to where John lived. And then some of the police came, and some of the search and rescue came, and they supplied flashlights. And of course, they began to organize the thing. And all night long, friend, from 6 o'clock at night until the next morning, we combed the woods and we combed the fields. Do you know why we were searching? Because there was a man that was lost. John was lost. Do you know how we searched for John? The same way God is searching. And as I look back over on that occasion, time and time again, I saw a picture of God searching for men and women and boys and girls. There was literally hundreds and hundreds of people that turned up searching for about 2 weeks, searching for one man. A man that they never even knew, only knew by name. Never had met the man in their life, and they came from all over Nova Scotia and all over New Brunswick to search for one man because that one man was lost. Well, you know how we searched for John? Out through the early hours of that morning, going through the fields and going through the woods, the cry was made, John! Crying out for John. And then there was a listening for a response from a man that maybe was lost and looking for help. But you know, it was the sad part of the story is 2 weeks of searching, day and night, plane, helicopters, men, women, and the expense and the effort and the work that went into that search. And we never found John. And we searched miles and miles and acres of country and never found John. I tell you, it's a sad thing when you don't find a man. I want to tell you, it was a hard day when the police finally had to come to that conclusion. We've got to downscale the search. And then a couple of days later, they got to say, we've got to call the search off. We can't go any farther. We don't know what else to do. We don't know where else to search. We don't know where else to look for this man. John. And I tell you, friend, we never found John. At that time, John was not found. You know, when God is searching, and he's searching for men, and he's searching for women, and he was searching right in Vancouver, in a multitude of people in a great city of Vancouver, in all its suburbs, God is searching for men and women and boys and girls. Do you know God is searching for you tonight, friend? Do you know that it's no accident that this gospel meeting is being conducted and that you're in this gospel meeting tonight? Do you know that God is so interested in you, friend, that he would bring you to hear the gospel, and he would bring the gospel so that you might hear it? And you know the sad thing is that you might not be found. The sad thing is, friend, that you might miss it. You could miss this great salvation in spite of the fact that God is searching. In John's case, about 4 weeks later, a young man went back in the woods not far from the house. Why, it was just a marvel how he was missed as the hundreds of people combed that area. And he went back one Sunday afternoon, walked back a woods road, went back into a certain section of the woods, amazing as it seems, and came upon the body of John. And John had been walking through the woods, and I guess they figure a sudden pain in the chest, and he fell on his face, and that's where he lay, in the woods. And he was gone out into eternity, gone out into that great beyond. Well, friend, one thing about John, he was ready. I had John's funeral. Spoke at John's. I knew that man all my life. And he knew me better than I knew him, I suppose. But I spoke at that man's funeral. But do you know something? It really wasn't all that hard, because John was a man who knew Christ as his personal Savior. A search had been made one day in John's life, and he had been found that day. The Lord Jesus Christ had found that man. He had stopped in the way he was going, and God came into his life. The Lord came into his life, and John received the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. He was found of the Lord Jesus. The day that we searched for him, friend, we never found him. But he was gone home to be with Christ. If this was your last night here upon earth, where would you go? If you was to cross this pillar on the chart tonight, this pillar that's marked by death, every one of us will. Whether it's like the man the other night that's walking to the sky train station or at the station, whatever, and a flash of lightning comes down and hits the man. Why, how many chances of all the people here of that happening? And yet, friend, that's just what happens in life. What we don't expect and what we don't think. And it just comes right into our life. And then we go out into eternity and we're never coming back anymore. Friend, ever think about it? Some people, of course, don't like that kind of preaching, but we would like for you tonight, friend, just to stop on the road of life and to ask yourself the question, where am I going in eternity? When this world is finished, when my life is over, and I go into that great beyond, where am I going to be for eternity, friend? We're only here a few short years. The Bible says 70 years at the most, maybe 80 years if we're a strong reason of strength. And there's some that live a little longer. We met a woman the other night, 94 years of age. But not too many make 94 years of age, friend. If we were to get the statistics of the ages of individuals that go into eternity, why, just often just ready for retirement, and something happens and gone. How many young people, yonders in the graveyards, go up and down the rows in the graveyards and find, friend, the ages of individuals as they go into eternity. And it's all ages, from young right to the older, have gone into eternity. And you and I tonight are going. Sooner than we think, no doubt, we're going into that great eternity. Where are we going? Well, I want to tell you tonight that God is searching for you tonight, lady in the meeting. Perhaps there's a woman tonight in this meeting, if you've never thought much about it. Well, I want to tell you that God is searching tonight for you, that you might be found and that you might be saved. Do you know that God would like to be come into your life? Do you know that God would like for you to be saved? You know how much? That He sent His Son from heaven, and the Lord Jesus came as a sacrifice for sins. And God was pleased with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a man that came from heaven, born of the Virgin in Bethlehem's manger, a man who grew to 30-odd years of age, a man who proved in his life, in everything that he did, in every word that he spoke, in every act that he performed, in everything that he did, he proved that he was who he claimed to be. He was God's Son. For God so loved the world, our verse tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent his Son from heaven. The Father sent the Son, the Bible tells us, to be the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven, and he went to the place called Calvary. And he entered into the sufferings of the cross of Calvary. All that man could do. You know what man did to the Lord Jesus? They pulled the hair from off his face. They smote him with their hands. And they spit in his face. I remember seeing one young man, with another young man. And of course, he was wanting him to fight. He was wanting this other young man to fight with him. You know what he'd do? He'd slap him. And he'd slap him on the face. And then he'd slap him on the other side. And it would just send a chill right through your body, friend, watching as that one man was smiting the other man on the face. Why, it would almost make any person respond. You just feel it well up inside. And he was wanting a scrap because he had lots of backing behind him, mainly was the reason. And the other man stood there and he took it as they smote it, and you could hear it, you could feel it. And I thought of the Lord Jesus, God's Son from heaven, the sinless, spotless, one who never committed a crime, who could not sin, who did not sin, and it was impossible for him to sin. And he stands before wicked, sinful, wretched man with all his sin, and they smite him on the face, and they spit in his face, and they make his back. The Bible says they made long their furrows down his back. They lashed his back with the Roman lash. They took him up to a hill called Calvary. They nailed him by his hands and feet to the cross. They lifted him up between heaven and earth. And the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. Friend, that's all that man could do. They could put him on the cross. They could seek to take his life, and yet they couldn't take his life. He gave his life, the Bible says. But you know, on the cross, as he hung on the cross, there was a darkness that covered the scene of Calvary. And in that darkness, the God, the very God of heaven, the God of creation, the God that holds our breath in his hand tonight, the God that you and I are going to face one day, the God of heaven poured out upon the Lord Jesus the iniquity of us all. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, or our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And at Calvary, friend, the Lord Jesus became the sacrifice that satisfied God. And God is pleased with the work of the Lord Jesus. You know, the sacrifice at Calvary of the Lord Jesus will never be repeated. You know that God was so pleased with that sacrifice that he raised him from the dead. He came forth from among the dead ones, the Lord Jesus. And he was taken back up into heaven. And he's in heaven tonight. And he's coming back again. Three things taken away in Hebrews 9. Sins taken away. Sinners' life taken away. The saints taken away. And you know, when the Lord returns again, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, those that have received God's sacrifice for sin, why, we're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Friend, are you ready? Then I think of the substitute. You know what a substitute is? You turn up at school one morning and the teacher that usually teaches you is not there, but there's a substitute teacher. Another's taking his or her place. Well, you know what the Bible says? Who his own self, the Lord Jesus, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus at Calvary bore my sins. I appreciate tonight. I'm glad tonight, friend, that he died for me, that I might be saved. Could you appreciate it? God is satisfied with the work of Christ. Why not be satisfied tonight personally with the work of the Lord Jesus? I close with that verse again. Who his own self, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might be saved. God grant you might receive him tonight as your own and personal Savior.